Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "Observe what is right, do what is just, for my salvation is about to come, my justice about to be revealed. The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to him, loving the name of the Lord, and becoming his servants, all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my mountain and make joyful my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. O God, let all the nations praise you.
O God, let all the nations praise you.
May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation.
O God, let all the nations praise you.
May the nations be glad and exult, because you rule the peoples in equity. The nations on the earth you guide.
O God, let all the nations praise you.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear him.
O God, let all the nations praise you. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I glory in my ministry in order to make you... I glory in my ministry in order to make my race jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Just as you once disobeyed God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now disobeyed in order that, by virtue of the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God delivered all to disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came out and called, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And neither of us have been able to read well today. and we're also sharing a single mic today, too, as one of our mics stopped working. So hopefully the quality is somewhat reasonable for everybody who's listening, but it probably doesn't meet our high standards of quality here at your Sunday Reader.
We have such high standards, too.
We do. We're hoping to get like a whole studio. You know?
Right, with one of our generous listeners' contribution,
we're going to build a studio. It could go down right with your youth room. Your youth building. It could be one of the rooms off of the youth facility that we're building here. We'll have studio, studio YSR.
There you go.
Anyway, we are going to discuss these readings as well.
Yes.
One of the things, I think, Dawn, that struck me, I remember having to preach on this a few years ago before I really had many seminary classes, and getting this reading to preach on and sit here and say,
Oh my gosh, Jesus seems like a jerk. How do you preach that? Because I can imagine that it's probably not the greatest thing to call somebody a dog. That's... You know, I know it's not in our day, and I have a feeling in Jesus' day it was the same thing. And actually, I think you found some information about that real quick.
Yeah, one of the things I read said that in that day it was common for the term dog to be equated with Gentiles. So Jewish people would call Gentiles dogs because they didn't distinguish from clean and unclean food as the Jewish people did.
Right.
So Matthew writing this, the people reading it would have known exactly what he was talking about.
Right. So he's, I mean, it's, in a sense, it's kind of a racial slur in a sense that it could be seen as, or, I mean, the Jewish people, or you're a non-Jewish, but you're one of those people, those unclean people. And so it does kind of come off as harsh. And again, we have to remember some of the context of things. And Matthew is writing for a Jewish audience. So he's also trying to stress the Jewishness of Jesus. And one of the things that would, of course, be an affront for this is, how can Jesus be a Jew if he's also hanging out with the quote-unquote dogs of the world or something like that? And so that's one of the things that Matthew's coming at. But another thing in this that's going on here, I think, is, you know, Jesus is coming forth saying, you know, I came for the lost sheep of Israel, for the house of Israel. And what we see here is this is where Jesus' mission begins to expand outward to those beyond. Or another thing that we can say is really, who are the people of God, or who are the children of God? And it seems to be from here that Jesus recognizes that the children of God are anyone who has faith in God, not necessarily because you're coming from this particular background or these traditions. And I think that's an important thing to take there, is I think that interaction is important for the Jewish mindset, the Jewish audience that Matthew's writing to, because it stresses that, look, Jesus was a traditional Jewish person like we are. And he, you know, came for the house of Israel, and he knew that he was not supposed to be interacting with these other people. Yet, at the same time, while being that faithful Jewish person, he recognized something that we haven't recognized in our Jewish tradition yet, which is that anybody who has faith in God, in some sense, has a claim on the Messiah or a claim on salvation in that kind of a sense. So this interaction, while it sounds from our point of view 2,000 years later kind of like, wow, Jesus was a real jerk or something like that, to the Jewish mindset, it would have been a challenging thing in the same level kind of as the story of the Good Samaritan would have been or something like that. It would be similar to trying to challenge maybe an American by saying, telling a story of a Muslim who did something, you know, an Iraqi Muslim who did something really good for humanity or something like that after an American came to them with a typical American attitude or something like that, and showing that, oh, wow, well, you know, maybe these people aren't just all pure evil or bad or something like that. So that's why the interaction is there in that kind of a sense. It's not trying to show that Jesus was a bigot or something like that, as it may come off in 20th century America.
You know, another thing I like about this woman who comes up to him, and well, and in all the Gospels, we have so few interactions between Jesus and women. This is one of the few. But she's so persistent. She doesn't just run away after he ignores her, like I know I would have because I'm a big wimp. But she's very persistent in asking. And I think that's something we all need to remember in our prayer and in our works of service. We need to be persistent in all that we do. Mm-hmm. And what a difference that can make.
Right. And another thing I think that we can take from here, too, it's on that kind of idea of persistence, but also the idea of the scraps, because she makes the comment, you know, even the dogs eat off of the scraps. And the Jewish people should have been taken back by that, because what their belief was, they were the chosen people of God, but it wasn't that God was only going to save them. It was through him that he was going to bring out salvation, and their view of salvation was going to be the entire world gathered around the 12 tribes of Israel. And this kind of serves as that reminder that even though you're a Jew or something like that, remember that in your own faith tradition, you are called to minister to the whole world. The whole world is called to gather around you. In the same way, you know, we might not have the fullness or something that you have or whatever you believe, but we're still called to some element of your salvation in your tradition. And I think that holds very true for us in our Catholic tradition, too. I think we can sit here and say, you can look at church documents that would certainly say things that, you know, we believe that the Catholic Church has the fullness of the faith and everything. We believe that's true. But at the same time, when we interact with our brother Christians, and actually anybody in the world, we have to remember that it's through us that salvation is mediated to the whole world, but it's not exclusively for us. So when other Christians come and want to share in prayer at times, now certainly we can't share everything, and there are limits and rules and things, but I think we should be challenged to say, how is it that we can work with other Christians or with other people who might not be part of, you know, our little group, if you will, or the Catholic Church, but still have faith in Christ?
And even going beyond that to evangelize, to go out to people that have no faith, and just like what you were saying, to be mindful of that. Sometimes I think we get real comfortable in even in our ecumenical circles and think, well, we don't really have time or the ability to go out and reach anybody else outside there, but we are called to do that also.
Right, and we're called to be that light, and we are called to, you know, what we give out to the world, it might not be the fullness of what we receive. So you could say, you know, we receive the Eucharist in our tradition, which is a wonderful thing, and we can't give that necessarily to everybody, to the non-believers, but in receiving the Eucharist, our scraps, you could say, would be, which aren't as perfect as Christ, you know, who's in the Eucharist, but our scraps would be our works that we do, should be for the benefit of the whole world, and they should fall out and trickle down or something. I hate to use that term, trickle down, but...
Well, I like the analogy about scraps being our service. That's pretty good, Brian, I must say.
Yes, I just thought of that just now, too.
Yeah, I'll give you credit. I do have a question. I guess I know a little bit of your history, not your history, but what you've experienced in the center of the story is about this woman's daughter who is possessed by, or tormented by a demon, it said. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit, does this still occur in today's world? Did demons just disappear when Jesus rose from the dead? Or does this still happen?
Well, I think that we would say it does still happen. One of the things, we had the exorcist from the Archdiocese of Chicago come and address us as a class, and he talked a little bit about this. One of his first points, though, he made when talking about things like Satan and demons and things like that, is he said, it's not our job to make people believe in the devil. He said,
right,
you'll find priests who don't or something like that, and certainly it's part of our tradition, you can argue, you know, are they denying part of our tradition? Are they not stressing it or whatever? But he said, that's not our job is to be focused on Christ,
right,
not on these demons. He said, and his line was, and I think it was a very good line, he said, I don't like to give Satan any more credit than he deserves, and he doesn't really deserve any. So from that point of view, but I mean, at the same time, I think it can be helpful for people to understand that there are there is demonic activity in our world today. And we do have exorcists for that reason. We do have the sacraments, he also suggested, were a great way of, you know, combating that evil that exists and things. The other thing he urged, he said, there's also a tendency on both extremes to err. One, to say that there is no demonic activity, and the other, to blame everything on the devil, you know. And he said, you know, when you do that, you kind of don't take responsibility for your own sin or your own actions. You just, the devil made me do it, or... and we do need to take responsibility for our own actions, of course. But there is definitely, I think, some activity that goes around, and probably some that does require calling in an exorcist or something like that. Most of it, though, it seems to me, according to what the exorcist said, you know, can really be solved when priests do their job, is what he said. He said, you know, he said if they're out there blessing homes like they should do, or when people ask for a house blessing, or blessing, you know, various objects, you know, rosaries, you know, appropriate objects, but objects nonetheless, he said, all for, you know, the glory of God. He said, those are ways in which we can help push back the demonic activity in our world. And certainly, you know, receiving the Eucharist is, I mean, we're receiving Christ into our own bodies at that point, is another way which we can strengthen ourselves for combat against evil. But that's my take on it, at least. So
Yeah, and I think even there's been times that I've just felt a little creepy about something or somewhere, and knowing that whatever I was feeling was not from God. And for me, if I intentionally make the sign of the cross, and each time I place my hand wherever, I really invoke almost, the creepy feeling goes away. And so it's just...
Yeah. And again, one of the other things that's often always overlooked is a lot of times, St. Anthony, the life of Anthony, it's a book of one of the first desert fathers in his life story, and he's combating evil and combating the devil. And he comes to a realization that the devil can only do things that are illusions. Even though he's creating physical pain for him and everything, he said he's trying to show this power because he can't get what he really wants. He wants you to think he's got more power than he has, so he kind of overexerts his authority. And when he does that, Anthony realizes, well, he can't get to my soul. And that's what he wants. And then all of a sudden he realized, well, he's kind of powerless then, because he can't get what he wants. And all this stuff is just kind of an act to make me give him what he wants out of my own fear, because he looks like he's got all this power when really he doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real revelation. Yeah. When I saw that and I was praying over that, I said, wow. And a lot of times, you know, that's how evil works, is it comes to us through fear. We talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's, you know, when you walk into those things, you can sense something's not right or something. You can just take a moment to collect yourself and say, you know what, though? I trust God is in charge and not the devil. So this it doesn't mean there's no evil, doesn't mean there's no bad things going on, but God is in control and can take care of this. And therefore, there's nothing for me to be afraid of, including, you know, if I were standing face-to-face with Satan. Now, it's not to say that that's something that's probably easier said than done. If he were to manifest himself in the middle of this office, I think both of us, Dawn, would take off running.
Yes. No doubt.
So grab Father Mole. but at the same time, I mean, that's what our faith calls us to do, and that's where we got to try to perfect our faith and strengthen it, because we should be able to... You know, if he did show up, you know, basically laugh at him to his face. Again, it's something easier said than done.
Right.
But I do think, Dawn, that we're coming to the end of our time for the podcast, and hopefully we don't have everybody worried about demons. Hopefully they're focused on Christ and remembering that he is in charge and that his mission through us is to spread out to the whole world. So actually we can help by sanctifying the whole world to prevent those demonic forces, and by being good and wonderful and holy and prayerful people. And of course, you can aid yourself in doing that by joining us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.